earth. And tonight I want to talk about kind of a prequel to that as far as how to have God's will for your life and knowing God's will for your life. Because these people that went up and they perished, unfortunately, that was not God's will for them. Now, Jesus said for us to pray, God, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So that tells us if you don't pray God's will, you won't get God's will. Okay? It's important to do that. And if you don't get God's will, then whose will you get? You might get the devil's will, you might get your will, or you might get somebody else's will. Okay? Those are three wills other than God's, okay, that come to pass in people's lives or in the world. But when God's will happens, it's heaven on earth. Because in heaven, as it is on earth, when Jesus was saying that, what makes heaven heaven is the fact that only God's will is done there. Satan's will is not done there. Man's will is not done there. God's will, and everyone in heaven, their will lines up with his will perfectly. Amen. That's awesome, because we're one. There's no flesh. There's no carnal will. Okay? So part of having heaven on earth is saying, okay, not my will, because I know my will is not good. Even Jesus said, not my will. Okay, so if he had to say that, how much more should we have to say that? And so, speaking of God's will for your life, God has a good plan for your life. And though Satan rages, will not be defeated. He said, in the world, yes, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Amen? He overcomes the world. So, I believe that tonight, we're going to hear God's will, we're going to know God's will, and we're going to do God's will. Because that's the key. It's one thing to know, but it's a different thing to do. And once you know, you're more responsible to do than just to know. Amen? And I remember one time when I was working here, not too long ago, I was up in my office, which is right over here in the same building. And I had just done, I believe I was doing like a Facebook Live video or something talking about hearing from God, the will of God, all these things. And I was just sharing with people on Facebook. And then when I stopped, I was still kind of in that flow and in that spirit. And it was like God said, wants you to go down by the Trinity River. And I knew the spot where I needed to go. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's kind of inconvenient time right now. You know, I've got to get stuff going. I got to get to work and to meet. But, you know, again, as a minister, I appreciate the freedom to be able to stop and just obey God. You know, some of you may not have employers or clients or whoever that could understand that. But to stop and say, okay, I'm going to do this, and just took off. I drove down. It's on the other side of town. It was inconvenient. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I was just preaching this. So I go down there, and I pull into this parking spot right by the river, and I can see the river. It's beautiful, nice. It's probably, I think, like 10 or 10:30 in the morning or something. And I'm just sitting there, just waiting, and saying, okay, God, I believe I'm doing the will of God, but nothing's happening. And so I want to talk about general will of God and specific will of God. Because if you do the general will of God, it positions you for the specific will of God. Very rarely do you get the specific first. So I'm sitting there. I've done the general will of God. I got in. I drove to this place. And now I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the specific. Still nothing. I was sitting there for quite a while. I was starting to get bored. Just saying, Lord, I'm starting to get bored. I think, you know, it's time to go back. I've obeyed. And all of a sudden, I started hearing voices, but I couldn't see anybody. And I was like, I'm hearing somebody's talking. I'm looking. But instantly, my heart knew, this is who you're here for. And I'm looking. I don't see anybody. And then all of a sudden, I see these people come right around this corner. And a group, it was two guys, two ladies, and they were dressed pretty nice. And they're walking by the river. And I thought, that's strange. You don't normally see people dressed like church clothes walking by the river. And one of them had flowers, a bouquet of flowers. And God said, go comfort them for the loss of their loved one. And I said, well, God, I don't know that they lost a loved one. I mean, they're walking, yeah, they've got flowers, but I mean, maybe it's like her birthday or something, or, you know, and they're just, the older lady had the flowers, and I thought maybe it's like her birthday or something, special occasion or something. And you know how sometimes we argue with God when we get to the specifics, because that's when it starts getting freaky. You know what I mean? That's whenever embarrassment is on the line, when it starts getting specific. I can handle the general, because you can do that and not look like an idiot. But when you get to specific, there's something at risk. And so I said, okay, well, all right, I need to do something. I just could not get my flesh to do it. After all these years, it's still a challenge. It is still hard to die to your flesh. You have to do it daily. And so I said, I tell you what, and God is so gracious and so good to still work with me after all these years. Sometimes I think I might frustrate the grace of God. But I said, I tell you what, I said, if they start throwing those flowers into the water, then I'll know that they've lost a loved one, and I'll go comfort them for the loss of their loved one. Because that's all that could mean, right? Couldn't mean her birthday, she's throwing flowers out in the water, right? So I said, oh, all right, I'm waiting, I'm watching. Well, they stood there for quite a while in this little dock area, and they're waiting, they're talking, and everything. It was kind of cool, and they had their coats on. And finally, the lady gets the rose, there were some yellow flowers, and she starts to throw. As soon as I saw that flower go, I opened the door. I said, yep, I knew, God, you're doing this to me. So I walk up there, and I have a suit on like this. I walk up as they're throwing, and I stand right behind them. And I'm just quiet, and I wait. And they're throwing, and I see, and they look at me, and they look at each other, kind of like. So they keep throwing, but kind of cautiously. They're throwing them out. And after they were done, they kind of turn and look at me like, can we help you? And I said, hey, I am sent by God to bring you comfort for the loss of your loved one. And they were like, shocked. What? And the son, her other son, said his brother, her son, had passed away 1 year before. And they were there on that moment, that day, throwing those flowers out in honor of him. And he asked me, what could you tell my mother that would comfort her for the loss of her son? And I said, let me tell you something. And I started talking about heaven. And I asked, do you believe in Jesus Christ? You know, did he believe in Jesus? They said, yes, we believe. Then the girl that had the flowers, the younger lady, she was just smiling ear to ear. And she was like, and they said, yeah, she knows. She knows what you're talking about. And she was like, yes, I know what you're talking about. And I started sharing about Jesus. I said, I believe he is in heaven, because I don't believe God would have sent me here to comfort you if it wasn't a comfort. He didn't send me here to tell you your son went to hell. Amen? So I believe the fact that I'm here. And they said, we thought you were from the city and we were in trouble for littering. I said, no, you're not doing anything wrong. I said, in fact, you're doing something right. And it was awesome. It was a powerful moment. But it started with just being inconvenienced, following God's general will, and saying, okay, God, I'll go that direction. Okay? And you need to be sensitive to that and open to that and respond. You've got to respond when God, because we miss those opportunities all the time, regularly, when you kind of get a little nudge, but you're like, I don't know. Just give it a shot. Come on, do it. Practice doing that. And even if you miss it, you might not have missed it. My dad was telling me this story. I wasn't even born yet. And he was an evangelist. He was a worship leader. And he was leading worship for this other evangelist named Chuck Perkins. And Chuck Perkins was a healing evangelist, David. And as they're in a church kind of like this, Dad had led praise and worship and all that. And then Dad was going out to do the tape table and then get everything back to the hotel and get all that taken care of. Kind of the business side. He was kind of his assistant to help this minister. And so while this minister is ministering, he said, somebody here has a pain in your right leg and God wants to heal you right now. I know it. It's in your right leg. Who is that here? And nobody lifted their hand. Well, Dad said he was out in the foyer as he was about to walk out with the suitcases, the briefcases and stuff. He's walking out and he hears somebody in their right leg, and he had hurt his right leg and it hurt him to walk. And he said, I received that in Jesus' name. And he said, instantly it was healed. And he said, praise God. Awesome. So he went out the door, got in the car and drove off to the hotel. Meanwhile, Chuck is here saying, come on, somebody here has pain in their right leg. Who is that? Nobody? Come on, I know somebody here. Somebody's just got healed. Who is that? And nobody answered. So later that night when he goes to the hotel, my dad, they're, you know, unpacking and stuff, doing stuff. And he says, oh, by the way, I meant to tell you, when you gave that word, I was in the foyer and I got healed. My leg got healed when I... He looked at him. You dirty dog. You realize I look like a fool? He said, you should have at least stuck your head in the door and said, hey, I got healed. That was me. But it looked like he missed it when really he didn't. And there are many times it might even look like, well, maybe I missed it. But you haven't if you're obeying God, doing the general will of God, then moving to the specific will of God. The general will of God is to show up to that church and preach the gospel. The specific is calling out a specific healing. So, again, stay open to those divine interruptions. Stay open to divine interruptions. And be ready for that at any moment. And change your plans if you have to. I was, one night we were at, I think it was at TBN or something, and Ashley was with me. I believe we had Nick Foster with us. And was it just us three? I don't know why we had Nick with us, but we did. And so we were driving home, and I said, I feel like we need to go to El Phoenix restaurant. And Ashley was like, El Phoenix? You know how ladies are? Your wife? And generally speaking, if she goes, El Phoenix, I would go, fine, we won't go to El Phoenix. We'll go somewhere else. Where would you like to go, my love? She goes, El Phoenix. And I said, babe, I feel like we're supposed to go to El Phoenix. And she's like, really? You know, she knows I like El Phoenix, which I do. Now, you can't say God said to do this when it's just something you want, you know. And you're like, no, thus saith the Lord, we're going to El Phoenix. Yes, yes. Notice God never says go to Mama Mia's. No. No, but this was real. I mean, I really felt like, I said, you know, babe, I really do feel like we're supposed to go to El Phoenix. She was like, okay, fine. Let's, you know, if you feel that's what God's will is. So we go to El Phoenix and we walk in. There's Pastor Bob and Charlie and Lori sitting there at the table. And we were like, hey, what's up? And I look at Ashton and I was like, oh, come on. Proof right there. I hear from God. I had no idea they would be there. This was like in Irving. This was El Phoenix like in Irving. And so we sit down. Of course, we didn't sit at their table. You know, we let them have their privacy and talk whatever they were talking. But as they left, you know, they paid for our whole meal. So again, I was kind of like, hey, babe, we could keep this going. You know, if we just spent more time in prayer before we went to eat, we could keep this going a while. Pastor and Charlie would be like, how do you know where we're eating all the time? The Lord tells me these things. You got to stay open to those divine interruptions. And sometimes you have to insist on God's will. You know, even if it sounds crazy, and even if, yeah, I mean, honestly, that looked weird because she knows I like El Phoenix and I'm insisting on it. I'm saying, no, I really believe this is where we're supposed to go. You have to insist on it because sometimes, like, let's say, for instance, when Paul, they were on that ship, remember? And he told the centurion, the guy, the soldier, Roman soldier over him, he said, this ain't gonna go good. We better not take off. And the centurion says, what do you think, Captain? And the captain says, psh, let's go. We'll be fine. I've sailed these waters. I've sailed the seven seas. You know, no problem. It's going to be great. Trust me. And Paul is like, I insist. This is going to go bad if we do this. And the Romans should have insisted with the captain and said, no, I insist we not do this. But he didn't, and you know the story. Thankfully, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And even if somebody else's will comes to pass in your life other than God's, it will still work out all right. Amen? If you love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's the good news. You know, some things you don't have choice over. You got a dumb captain and then the leader without a backbone to say, no, we're not going to do this. But even if that happens, don't worry about it because God will work it out. And of course, everybody was saved and there was a great revival on the island of Malta and all that. And it worked out. It was fun. And God will lead you many times when you don't even realize it. I was not long ago, too. I was out soul winning one day. We were planning on going somewhere else. And in my heart, I just felt like, you know what? We need to go hit Oakhurst Scenic Area. Okay, let's do that. All right, let's go hit Oakhurst Scenic Area today, and we're going to go house to house and soul winning, you know? And so we do that. And as I'm going, I didn't even realize, David, it's good to see David Alcala here tonight, and Anna, good to see y'all here. Praise God. David's a friend of mine for years, years back. We were in youth together here at this very church. Sure love the Alcala family. Glad y'all are here tonight. But I was going door to door, and I come across, and there's Gene Sandoval. Y'all know Gene, right? And so I was like, hey, Gene, what's up, man? He's like, oh, good, you're finally here. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mom's been praying that you would come today, and she said, he's going to come by today, and here comes Lillian out with her little stroller. Oh, hey. I've been praying that you would come and pray for me and lay hands on me today. And I said, really? She said, I knew you would come. And I said, that's funny. I didn't even know I was coming. I had no clue. So I was like, well, here, let me pray for you. I just believe it's going to work. Amen. And it was neat. Now, sometimes you don't even know you're being led by the Spirit. And you just have a change of plans. Well, I think I'm going to do this. Well, let's go here. And as the Lord leads you, not flaky or weird, but, you know, genuinely flowing in the Holy Ghost. It's awesome. It's wonderful. I love those glory stories, Dr. Vaughn. I've been reading her book, Instrument in God's Hand. And just reading that book, reading those stories, those stories of God's goodness, of his glory, of all those things. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's magnificent. And I read through those stories and I say, I lived that. I've had that same thing happen. I've experienced the same thing. And I'm telling you, if God will do it for Dr. Vaughn, if God will do that for Jerry, if God will do that for me, he'll do it for you. And he wants to on a regular basis. And I see people nodding their heads all over because they're like, same thing. I could tell you stories all night. And I love doing that. I love being able to tell stories because it's a story that glorifies God. Because there's no way you could have known anything, but God knew. And God moves. And God's mindful of you. And God is at work in your life. And if you can hear God's voice and see his hand move, then you know it's going to be okay. You know, as a little kid, it's kind of like, well, if you could just hold dad's hand, you knew, okay, it's going to be all right. That's how it is when you experience that God's will coming to pass in your life. You're like, okay, it's going to be okay. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. This is Paul's conversion from Saul to Paul. Remember? Light came down from heaven. He was on his way to Damascus. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I believe in reading the Word of God. Not only hearing it, but seeing it and writing it down. Keep notes if at all possible. If you're wondering, how do you remember all this stuff? Because I write it down. I keep track of it. I know Pastor Bob Nichols has talked about T&P that he writes in next to scriptures, tried and proven. Okay, so it's good to have those things and make your Bible or your notebook or whatever a journal of the fulfillment of God's goodness in your life. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, it's talking about Saul named as he falls on the ground, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go in the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. So again, the general will of God was just get up and go in the city, right? And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now they knew something was up here. And they were like, what is going on here? Again, it's a sign and a wonder. And the world should wonder about your life. As you're going about your daily business or whatever, there should be some sign or some wonder that God is with you, that God speaks to you, that you're not your average, typical, normal person, but that God is speaking to you and that there is something supernatural about your life. And the men stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he could see no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now you can imagine what those 3 days were like. When God says, get up, go in the city, and wait, and I'll tell you what to do. So he's there. I imagine after the first day, he was like, well, did anybody come asking for me? Nope. No letters? Nothing. And then the second day, the same thing, nothing. And he wouldn't eat. They're like, come on, Paul, you need to eat something. He says, no, I'm not eating. Not till God speaks to me. God's going to tell me. Finally, the third day, he's having these visions, you know, of what's going to happen. And it starts getting specific. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, in verse 10, and said to him, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, go in the street, which is called Straight. So he's telling him the exact road. Go to Straight Street and inquire in the house of Judas. So he gives him a specific name. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Okay, so he's telling him, go to this street, talk to the guy in this house, and look for this man. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And so here we see how the general led to the specific will of God being done. And many times where I think we fail it is we don't get past the general, and therefore we never get to the specific. But if we will do that, we will hear those things from God. God makes his will known to us specifically by his Spirit. I know I heard a story Mark Barkley was talking about one time where he was in his study and he looks over at this globe of the world and he said the nation of Honduras just, he said it was like on fire, like lit up to him. And he looked at that and he thought, what in the world? That's amazing. Honduras. Well, then his phone rings and these Honduras Mennonites call and say, hey, we have some of the people in Honduras, our missionaries, are being beheaded. They're just chopping their heads off. And they're Mennonites. What are they going to do, right? But these guerrilla warriors or whoever are chopping people's heads off with machetes and just killing people right and left of their missionaries. So he said, you know what? I feel led to come down there. Well, Mark, he's an ex-Marine, you know, and I believe he had been like a drill sergeant. I don't know what he was an officer, I believe. I'm not sure on that. You have to check. But anyway, he's a tough man. He's a man's man. And so he says, I feel led to come down there. When I hear about God's people getting their heads chopped off, it makes me want to come down there. So he gets on a plane and flies down there. And there was a whole number of things that happened that were specific things, times. He comes out in the middle of the night. He just hears God tell him, this is what I want you to do. In the middle of the night, he wakes up, goes out, builds a big fire out in the middle of the compound where all these people had been known to be killed. And he sets this big old fire, and he just gets out, and he starts screaming at the top of his lungs and calling those people to come forward and to come out in Jesus' name. And he starts praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, he said, you were hearing clanking of machetes and sounds of people in the jungle as they were getting closer and closer. And he's yelling at the top of his lungs in the name of Jesus. And as they come, he said the clanking he was hearing was them dropping their machetes all in the same pile. And they all came in, and they all fell on their faces, and they all got born again and got saved. And so as the Spirit began speaking to him, then later the Holy Ghost told him, get out of there now. Woke him up in the middle of the night again and said, now leave, now. And again, this is where you have to insist on God's will being done. So he tells his guide, we need to leave now. And the guide says, where are we going to go? He says, we've got to go. He said, there's nowhere to go. It's the middle of the night. We're not going anywhere. He said, we are leaving now. He says, okay, we'll go to the bus station. But there's no buses there. He says, there will be a bus there. He said, listen, it's not my job to provide the bus. It's my job to get there, right? And you just don't tell him no. If you knew Mark Barclay, you don't tell him no. So they said, okay, well, we'll get to the bus station. Well, they get to the bus station, middle of the night, middle of nowhere. There's no buses, but there was one light on inside. He tells his guide, go in there and get us some tickets on the next bus. So he goes in there, tells the guy, he comes back and says, hey, he said, there's no bus coming. He says, you get us some tickets. I don't care. He said, it's not my job to provide the bus or the driver. All I'm doing is obeying God. So he says, okay. He goes to the man, says, three tickets, you know, or whatever. And they say, well, sorry that there's no bus coming. All of a sudden, over the hill come these headlights. And the bus pulls up, and the door opens, and the guide starts asking the driver, hey, do you have any seats on this bus? And Mark Barclay goes, what are you doing? Get on that bus. Get on that bus. What are you asking if there's any seats on that bus? This is our bus. God sent us here. We're getting on that bus. There were three seats left on that bus. That's how many they needed. Again, it's not my responsibility to provide the bus. It's my responsibility to obey God. And so he ends up going back to his hotel. Some Mennonites were there having a Mennonite convention in the hotel, and they heard what he had done and came and rang his door or knocked on his door. He came and answered the door, and they said, will you come down and speak to us and minister? So he said, yes, I'd love to. Went down, preached to all these Mennonites. He said, 10 years later, you can hardly go anywhere in Honduras where there are not Mennonites that are filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues and gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? As a result of obeying God, his specific will. And starting generally. Now that's pretty specific when God says for you to do that. But Jesus has said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's very general. When you start doing that, God will make it more specific. You know, blood flows through arteries that are big, and then they get smaller, you know, and smaller, and they get to little capillaries, some places where one blood cell at a time will fit through those places. And that's how specific God's will can get, to where it's, and some people call them, I think, capillaries, but I always say capillaries. But it goes from wider to smaller to smaller to smaller, and sometimes some places only you could get. You know, Martin, there's places you'll go, I will never go in my lifetime. And maybe not anyone else here, but it's somewhere that you're going to go, that you're that one blood vessel that's providing oxygen to that one place, you know. You're providing that to that one place, and it's bringing life there. That's specific, and God wants to do that through all of us. And so, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Pastor Bob Nichols says, God's best is yours. I'm watching my time. Make sure I don't preach too long. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay, that's very general. He just went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But then there came a time whenever he said, hang on, guys, we got to go through Samaria. They said, what? Nobody goes through Samaria. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. I don't know the details. I don't know why, but I'm going to Samaria, right? So he just shows up. Okay. All right. Well, whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. You know the story, right? The woman at the well. That's where he meets the woman at the well. Then it got specific all of a sudden. But then it got real specific when he told her everything she had ever done. And she was like, I perceive you are a prophet. He said, you perceive right. I'm more than that. And then, you know, the whole town got born again as a result of that. He said, look on the fields. They're white with harvest. Again, following the general, meeting the specific, and then not being afraid to go ahead and speak those things out that you believe God is saying. Something I learned, too, as a minister, as a young man, I always had a hard time saying, God says this, or thus saith the Lord, do this. Because I've always been concerned, I don't want to speak for God if it's not God. And if I say, thus saith the Lord, go to El Phoenix, and it's just my stomach talking, I don't want to be like God saying, what are you saying I said? I never said that. And so what I've learned is to say, I believe I'm hearing from the Lord on this. I believe God is saying this. Okay, because that's saying, there's a little leeway there to say, if I'm wrong, God forgive me, but I believe that God is saying this. And you'll find many times, hey, I am hearing from God. And so even if you're not 100% know that you know, there have been times whenever I have known that I knew, and I had to say, I know God is saying this. No doubt in my mind. And so know the difference and know when to say, I believe God is saying this. You just do what you feel God is saying to you. And if it's a confirming word, then that's great. I'm going to skip over some things to end here. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. I just want to give this last point before we dismiss, because I believe y'all are getting it. And I believe y'all are going to start flowing in this more. Not that you haven't been, but we can always focus on something. I always do more of what I focus on. Acts 16:4, Paul and all of his buddies, out as they're going out soul winning, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And I love the fact that there was authority there. They got decrees, and they didn't just take off on their own, but they went through authority, godly authority. And they got the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. God honors godly authority. This is New Testament, not Old Testament, okay? God honors authority in the church. And that's important to know, because they're operating under a covering here, see? And they're flowing in line with the authority that God has set over them. And not every church is called to do the same thing, okay? I don't go to one church and then tell them, hey, this is what you need to do contrary to what your pastor's saying. If I say it's all soul winning, you need to all go soul winning, and they say, well, our pastor's saying we're having prayer. I'm not going to go contrary to what the pastor is, because it's his authority, and God's speaking through him to the people that he's under, okay? And so in the same way, one thing I just have always asked of anybody that comes in here is that you flow with what Pastor Bob Nichols says. You know, I think that's fair. I think that's right. I don't go, you know, if a manager of the Olive Garden goes to McDonald's, he doesn't start bossing employees around, you know, telling them what to do. Wait a second. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I don't know who that was for, but praise God. If it's for you, then go for it. Verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now notice that they were forbidden to preach in Asia. Well, I thought it said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, they were on their way, and the Holy Ghost said, nope, don't go to Asia right now. And obviously, think about it. Could they go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? No, obviously not. It was meant for the whole body of Christ, right? So he was telling them specifically, don't go to Asia right now. Don't do that. Now, they'll go to Asia later. Dr. Vaughn will hit Asia later. That's what he was saying. That's right. He said, y'all don't go yet. I'm saving that for Dr. Vaughn. So he said, don't go to Asia yet. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit suffered them not. Said, nope, not Bithynia. Okay. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And this is where it gets specific. See, they're trying here, trying there. And many times obeying and knowing the will of God is starting to go a direction. And saying, okay, God, I'm following your will. I'm going this way. And if you're going this way and you feel, nope, Holy Ghost saying, nope, 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 nope. Okay. All right, I'm going this way. Okay, it's kind of like hot and cold. Did you ever play that game as kids? You played hot or cold? And there was something hidden in the room, and your brothers and sisters would tell you, hot, 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 hot. Oh, you're getting hot, hot, hot. Oh, you're burning up. Oh, you're right there. Nope, you're getting cold now. Nope, you're getting cold. Oh, you're freezing. Now you're frozen, man. Oh, it's freezing. So you're like, oh, wait, you're warming up again. You're warming. Oh, you're hot. Oh, you're hot, hot, hot. You're burning up right here. And you go, you got it, Virginia, don't you? That's how it is with hearing God.